Big questions, even bigger guests. This is The Big Interview. Good day and welcome to The Big Interview. The Absa Premiership season has drawn to a close, wrapping up arguably the most intense and stressful campaign to date. The 2019-20 season kicked off all the way back on the 9th of August 2019. And it finished nearly 13 months later after COVID-19 suspensions, 4-month delays, loss of title sponsor, team status sales, and a biologically safe environment. It's finally over. And now we can talk about it in the past tense, in retrospect. And for that, I'm joined by someone who needs no introduction, but I'll introduce him anyway. He's the SuperSports United CEO who's been with the club through thick and thin. He's outspoken and vocal about local football, and it's always a pleasure to chat to him. We welcome Stan Matthews back to the SL podcast. I'm your host, Slu Paho, and this is The Big Interview. But before we dive into the show, a word from our sponsors. Cadbury FC, hashtag taste the action, is back, and this time they've partnered with 5 of the top English football clubs, including Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester United, and Tottenham Hotspur, to bring fans closer to all the action. So join host Andile Ngcube and some of the legends of English football, including Bafana Bafana and Manchester United legend Quinton Fortune, who, by the way, has just become the Reading FC first team coach, so congrats to him. He'll be joining Andile at the exclusive Cadbury Taste the Action experience. It's your chance to rub shoulders virtually with some of your football heroes. The experience will be completely virtual, but that allows you to attend from the comfort of your own home. There will be opportunities for questions while you enjoy a true taste of the action. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. on September 17th, and you can register at crowdcast.io/e/taste_the_action, and that link will be in the show description. But without further ado, let's get back into the show. I'm happy to be joined on the line by SuperSport United CEO Stan Matthews. Stan, how are you doing today?
Good, and you, Slu? How are you doing?
I'm all good, cannot complain. So the last time we spoke, you were clear that you'd prefer to finish in fourth and dodge the CAF bullet. SuperSport United finished fifth. Are you pleased with how everything played out?
You see what they say, be careful what you wish for. I guess, to be honest, we've got mixed feelings. From the one point of view, we had third place in our hands, going into the last week of the season. So, you know, unfortunately missing the two penalties against Pirates and then losing to Cape Town City. So we fluffed our lines and we lost the Q4 right at the death to Cape Town City, and we dropped out of the top four, which was our goal. So that was a little bit disappointing. But at the same time, like I said to you before, that if you offered me 50 points at the start of the season and a trophy, I would have signed for it. And if you offer me 50 points for next season and a trophy, I'll sign for it right now. So we're very grateful that we did manage to take one trophy away from Sundown. Maybe Celtic will take another. But, you know, besides that, a top five finish is good for our club. 50 points is good for our club. We're just a little bit disappointed that we could have done something a little bit more special by finishing in the top three. But as you say, on the bright side, we dodged the Africa bullet, and we can look forward now to the top eight. I think we play TTM, which should be exciting, a new team. It's actually quite nice not to play Wits or Pirates for a change in the top eight, which is what we've done for the last 6 years. So something different in the top eight, and no African bullet, because we've got a small squad, Slu. And, we didn't really want to have to put ourselves under that kind of pressure with a small squad and a young squad to have to compete in Africa and a very competitive PSL.
And I mean, you know, if you have to compete in Africa, we can't imagine what the CAF Champions League and CAF Confed Cup setup is going to be for this next season. But, you know, quickly looking at your results in the bubble. So it's 3 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses since restart. You were on quite a run as well. All things considered, though, pretty solid run in the bubble. Going into the biologically safe environment, what were your main concerns for the team?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, the regard was for the safety and well-being of everybody, not just our team, but the entire football industry. The PSL took a massive plunge by taking on this bubble. It was an ambitious project and something that only very few leagues in the world took on. We saw major leagues not prepared to take on that type of logistics and attention to detail. They chose to bail. We chose to hang in there, and you know, thankfully, everything went well. So, you know, our first and biggest concern was the health and well-being of everybody, but also the livelihoods and being able to sustain our industry. I think you saw the excitement from the fans, the wonderful TV product. I mean, there was a time where, in the spell of 20 days, I think we had 17 days of live football, which was a fantastic bonanza for the spectator, given the fact that, you know, we haven't been able to have spectators at games. So I think from an industry perspective, one has to be pleased, exceptionally pleased, that we managed to pull off the bubble. Obviously, there's still a little bit of the playoffs to go, but by and large, we've conducted ourselves exceptionally well as the 32 clubs, and we've come through that. So that was the biggest concern. Obviously, form was a factor, and we were concerned about our team's form, but that was secondary. And I think my exact words to you back in June when we spoke were, you know, we had 40 points and we need 3 wins and a draw to get to 50 points. So we managed to get those figures, and I'm very proud of Keitana and the boys. As I say, they know that we're disappointed that we fluffed our lines right at the death, but at the end of the day, this is a very young team. We played more under-23s than any other team in the country this season. I think we played more under-21s than any other team in the country this season. We had 4 under-21s in our starting lineup against Polokwane. So we achieved our objective in the bubble, and not just getting decent results, but also blooding some young players and having a little glimpse of what next season could look like. And also, you know, we went through these 6 games without Dean. We wanted to see how that would be. He's been our captain and inspirational figure. So I think to pull off 3 wins and a draw in the bubble in under those type of conditions and with the resources that we had was a fantastic achievement.
100%. So, you know, last question about the bubble here. Back in July, the estimated cost of playing in the BSC was 3 million rand per club. Now, looking back in retrospect, was that a fair estimate? Are you allowed to kind of divulge what figure it actually came to?
It's difficult. We're still calculating. A lot of the costs are still coming in. Many of them are shared costs. So, you know, some of the costs, all the 32 clubs will be sharing. Some of the costs were directly related to individual clubs, depending on how many players they had in the bubble and so forth, how many nights they were staying. And some teams had different requirements in terms of meal requirements, laundry requirements, water requirements. So it was different for all the clubs. But yeah, I think you're probably looking at around 2.5 million per club as a rough guesstimate for what it cost us to pull off the bubble as an industry. You know, but you have to weigh that against the credibility that we managed to achieve through this process, the unity that we had, the good working relationship that we had with SAFA through this process. And, you know, the good send-off that we managed to give APSA, which was very important to us as the PSL longstanding partners and fantastic partners to the league. You know, it was important for us to give them a good send-off, and that the league didn't just end in a way that wasn't befitting to their sponsorship. And we managed to do that. I don't think there were many more exciting leagues in the world that went down to one goal scored difference. Potentially, you know, into the last game, into the last seconds of the season. So from a PSL perspective, as an ExCo member, I was very, very happy and proud about what we pulled off. And from a SuperSport United perspective, I was pleased we came through everything well. And we've set a good foundation for next season.
100%. Now, you mentioned it just before. You have this young core that's been very impressive. You know, you have arguably the goalkeeper of the season and young for a captain in Ronwyn Williams. Then you have, you know, this midfield core of Sipho Mbule. You have Jamie Webb at Tebogo Mokoena up front. You have guys like Lungu. You've already added Ikram Reyners ahead of next season in attack. So before we get to potential departures, do you think that there needs to be any more additions to this squad before next season?
I think realistically, you can't expect to lose a guy like Dean and then turn to three 22 and 23-year-olds in Webber, Mokoena and Mbuli, as talented as they are, to carry a 40-game campaign for us coming out of a pandemic and going into an Olympic year. I think would be exceptionally unfair to the club and to those players. So we definitely need some experience in the middle of the park. You know, in the other areas of the club, from Ronwyn Williams, as you say, in the goals and Bafopule, you know, going through the defence, guys like Bashira, Bongani Kumalo and Clayton Daniels, and up front guys like Gabuza, Hrobla and Riziki. These are all 30-year-old experienced players that can hold the team together. I don't have anything like that in my midfield. Over the past 2 years, I've lost Yeye, I've lost Dean, I've lost Cole Alexander, I've lost Michael Morton. And I'm about to lose Aubrey Modiba. So, you know, in that kind of environment, I need a little bit more experience in the midfield. So we're going to be looking to add definitely there. And outside of that, to be blunt with you, we're going to pretty much run with what we've got, because that's where we're holding as a club. We don't have a kitty to go out and splash in the transfer market. You know, although we're probably going to move Aubrey, you know, a lot of that, the balancing of the Aubrey transfer goes into, you know, balancing out the fact that we lost our main sponsor last year, we lost our academy sponsor last year, we've had extra expenses in terms of COVID. So, you know, we'll hopefully limit the selling to just Aubrey, and look to add one or two in the midfield that will help the youngsters in terms of experience, in terms of workload. And just give a little bit more depth to the squad in the middle area where we're a little bit light. You know, Jesse Don is 20 years old, and he's the backup to Tebogo, Sipho, and Jamie. It's a bit of an unfair situation for those young kids to expect them to deliver week in and week out in the PSL. So we're definitely going to go and find ourselves an experienced central midfielder.
And, you know, you've already mentioned a couple of times that Aubrey's on his way out. Laduma's own Mazola actually reported yesterday that he may have signed a 4-year deal with Sundowns already. Is that a done deal or is it still in the works?
You know, often when I want to find out what's happening at SuperSport, I find Mazola myself. he seems to know more than me and have a lot of details at the club. So hats off to him. He's a good guy. And a reliable reporter, so he doesn't often get it wrong once he puts it in print. I don't know how long Aubrey's projected deal with Sundowns would be. That's up to him and his agent to negotiate with Sundowns. We've given them permission to do so, but I wouldn't be able to comment on what kind of duration of deal Aubrey's negotiating with Sundowns with. I focus on my negotiations with Sundowns, which are going very well and should be wrapped up in the course of this week.
Fantastic. Now, earlier in the season, Bradley Hrobler was linked with a move away, but those rumors have since quietened down, and he's had a great season. 14 goals, could have been 16 if he got those penalties in. And he's a rare breed of striker in the PSL. How important is it for you to hold on to a guy like Bradley ahead of next season? And can you confirm that he's going to be with SuperSport come the new campaign?
Yeah, well, Brad's still got 2 years and an option on his contract. So there's no danger for us in terms of Brad leaving against our will. You know, he's under lock and key, and as you say, he's a prize kind of striker, a different striker. As you can see, there are not that many good hold-up strikers in South Africa. Nukovic brought something different to the South African environment, and you can see the impact that he had. His flick-ons at set pieces and in open play is something that South Africans aren't very used to, and I haven't seen someone as effective at doing that, you know, since Bradley, you know, Nurkovic, Glenn Salmon, those kind of strikers. Even what you see in some of Elazar Rogers, even up to today, there are not a lot of strikers in South Africa that have that ability to bring other people into play through their flick-ons, you know, through their hold-up play. Bradley has that, and he's a fantastic finisher too. He's had a lot of injury problems. I mean, you know, people talk about the 14 goals this year, and we're very grateful and thankful for the 14 goals he's delivered. But in the previous two league campaigns, I don't think Brad's got past three league goals. And, you know, so as a club, if you look over the past 4 years, we've been very patient. We've had a striker that hasn't gone past 10 goals. We've been with him through thick and thin because he brings a lot more than just goals to the team. So we're not looking to lose Bradley at all. And I would love for Bradley to stay at SuperSport, finish his career at SuperSport and coach in our academy, the young strikers, when he's finished. That's what I would love to do. But when it comes to his personal expectations, and if you know he has an offer at his age that's going to change his life that I can't match, don't think it would be right for SuperSport United in any way. To say to him, you can't go, when I've given that privilege to other people that have been at the club for lesser time than Bradley and that have won fewer trophies than Bradley for me. So, you know, the players in our club know our philosophy very well. If you put in an honest shift and give your best and you help us win trophies or achieve our objectives, then when the time comes for you to be able to earn yourself a move that's going to change your life, We will not stand in the way. We've never done that. We haven't stood in the way. I can take you all the way back to the early 2000s of players from Teko Modise onwards, Dane Clayton, Kermit Erasmus, Shlompho Kakana, Anthony Lafour. I can give you a plethora of players that have come from SuperSport but got too big for SuperSport. That in terms of their salary expectations and what we, the thresholds that we have within our budget structure, within our funding mechanisms, we have to operate within a certain structure. And if a player becomes too big for that structure, you know, then obviously you have to reconsider things. And I've said to Bradley all along that if one of the big three came along and offered him a massive contract, that it would change his life at his age that he couldn't get again, not abroad and not in South Africa, that we wouldn't stand in his way. But it doesn't mean that I'm just giving Bradley Frober away, and it doesn't mean that I don't want Bradley in the team. We absolutely love Bradley in the team. We want him to stay in the team. We want him to spearhead our attack. And, you know, we want him to continue next season where he left off this season, except obviously we're going to work hard on his penalty taking in the offseason. You know, he missed a penalty against Kaiser Chiefs in one of the first games of the season in the 92nd minute where we would have won that match and instead we drew. And that was a big swing. Instead of us getting 3 points, we shared the spoils with Chiefs. And then the missed penalties against Pirates. So he knows he could have finished Golden Boot and he's in good nick. He's in the best physical condition that he's been at since he joined SuperSport. And we're absolutely in no hurry, no rush, and no stress to get rid of Bradley Frobler. As it stands, I haven't had any formal offers from the big three for him, so there's nothing to discuss. When there was rumors and there was a linking of him with clubs in the past, I've addressed the situation. But to be very honest with you, nobody's spoken to us about Bradley Frobler, not for 6 months. And so for us, he's our striker, he's our lead striker, he's our treasured striker, he's one star for us, he's already a legend at the club. and we don't want him to go anywhere.
Now, lastly, before I let you go, you know, the BSC was very interesting in that we also had different venues for different clubs. Clubs in Gauteng had to play in stadiums that were usually away from home for them. And so now I need to ask, so PSL Chairman Irvin Khoza confirmed that the league will return on the 9th of October. We know that another bio bubble would be too expensive. And Khoza did mention, the only other thing he mentioned was that clubs will be expected to follow strict conditions, which they were for the BSC as well. But, you know, will we see SuperSport United back at Lucas Moripe Stadium? Will we be able to see these teams playing in their home stadiums again, or are they looking at different options?
Look, there's been no decisions taken in that regard, and I'm not a PSL spokesman to be able to comment about that. Obviously, we have to comply with the regulations, in terms of government and the ministries and the protocols that we agree to adhere to. So some of those have fallen away or will fall away outside of a bubble environment, and some of those will still be very much applicable in terms of screening and testing and other requirements that will still be around when the next season starts. So our expectation as a club, at SuperSport United, is that we'll play our home games in our normal home game venues, you know, being Lucas Moripe and Mbombela for us at the moment, and that our home games would take place there. That they may take place behind closed doors is what we're expecting to start. We're not expecting spectators for the start of the season, but we are expecting to play at our normal home ground as a club. So until we advise otherwise, that's the condition and the premise that we're working on. We're back at our training venue from the 11th of September. So, you know, life will go back to normal from that point of view at our training environment. But the protocols in terms of COVID are still in play, and we're still bound by them. And all the clubs are very much aware, through our chief medical officer, through the compliance officer and the communication of the league, we get updated weekly about what the expectations are, what the latest government gazettes are, and what the guidelines are. So we're all very comfortable about what we need to do. Obviously, it's a bit of a hassle, but it's something that we have to live with in our industry if we want to you know, keep it going until this virus eventually subsides.
100%. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on. SuperSport United CEO Stan Matthews, thank you very much for joining me on the big interview, and all the best moving forward. And, you know, as soon as the league is back, all the best for next season as well.
Thanks, Lou. Yeah, look, I mean, you have to be realistic about a league like this. You take a Sundowns team that is on course for the treble, and then you add to that team Mvala, Salulile, Modiba, Erasmus, Motupa, Domingo, Goss. So there's already seven quality players that would basically be almost like an all-star 11 PSL you're adding to a treble-winning side. I don't think that many teams can have the aspiration to go and dominate the league or to try and topple Sundowns. At this point in time, it's a very big ask. So, you know, for us as a club, these fourth and fifth place finishes and having a stab at the cup competitions, that's realistic. And kind of, I think, what maybe 13 of the 16 clubs in the PSL, you know, have to wrap their heads around, because it's not really easy to compete against that kind of depth and strength. It's certainly not over a 30-game period. You can, might be able to do it in a short burst, as Baraka showed, and as Cape Town City showed. You know, you can beat any team on the day. But week in and week out over 30 games in this PSL is very, very tough. And when you're adding all-star 11s to existing treble-winning teams, you have to be realistic. The rest of the market has to be realistic about what the extent of their achievements can be and how they go about, you know, plotting a course for their club with that in mind.
100%. But, you know, of course, we look forward to seeing you guys try to defend your MTNA title, maybe make a run at the Telkom knockout, you know, provided, you know, we'll see exactly how the season plays out, but provided that we're able to watch all of those competitions again, which we're hoping for. But, you know, it's been entertaining watching you guys all season long. And thank you again for joining me on the show.
Thanks, Lou. All the best, buddy.
The Big Interview is a team effort driven by the following incredible individuals. The show is hosted by myself, your host, Lou Paho. It is edited by our editor, Simon Strella, and graphics are provided by the one and only Nino Segeleni. Only on the SL Podcast, brought to you by Sokola Duma.